Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jay Jaffe, Sports Illustrated, joins us now. Jay, just how good of a looking of a man is Giancarlo Stanton?
Well, there are few guys who look as good as he does when he's got that home run swing in full
effect. There you go.
Way to transition, Jay.
And maybe we'll see him and Judge in the home run derby.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. You know, Judge is being hailed as the new Stanton, you know, given his size and his power and his capacity to launch those balls long distance. So I think it would be fantastic to see that kind of showdown.
Yeah, it would be. You know, it's interesting, Jay, just quickly on that. For Judge, right, he's had a little trepidation with the home run derby, right? He is a guy that, you know, right now with the Trout injury is on pace to be the MVP of the American League, Rookie of the Year. You know, if he's a little cautious about going out there and participating, even though it would be great for baseball, if Judge is a little apprehensive, you know, in his mindset, is this something that you think, and he's thinking about the greater cause of having this kind of a year, don't you think that's a little fear for him moving forward, whether or not he should participate, if he's feeling it?
I don't know. It's tough to put yourself inside the head of any athlete and speak definitively. I understand this is a guy who doesn't really want to call too much attention to himself. He's a rookie. He quote-unquote knows his place. He wants to put the team first. Obviously, the Yankees are doing well, you know, except for this this recent slide. There's all kinds of anecdotes about the way that the home run derby can screw up a guy's swing, although people who've studied that closely have shown that's more myth than anything else. Still, you know, some guys come to mind, Jock Peterson, Todd Frazier, for example. So I could understand why a player would feel a bit nervous, especially one in Judge's shoes. That said, you know, I think the home run derby is about it's about the fans and it's about giving the fans what they want. And I think, you know, given what he's done this year, I think the fans would love to see him there.
Sure.
So I would encourage him to find a way to make that happen. Assuming everything is right with his health, and right now we don't have any reason to believe it's not.
Jay, thanks for joining us today. And I think any of us who have observe the Yankees and Brian Cashman at any level over these last several years believe that he will make moves that the team needs him to make at the trade deadline. What is your longer-term view of this Yankees group ahead of schedule, obviously, but certainly one that could contend?
Yeah, I think they're going to be cautious about what exactly they do, not, you know, in order to not compromise this core that Cashman and company have built up over the last few years. Obviously, he did a tremendous job last year with getting that hall of prospects that he did. At the same time, I think you realize that, if you're in this position, you realize you don't have these opportunities every year, and you want to make sure that this team is strong enough. So I can see them going out and getting a starting pitcher and maybe a reliever as well. I don't think they're going to break the bank. I don't think there's going to be a lot of options out there that are really high-end guys. But when you look at the injury issues they've had, and particularly the struggles of the bullpen in the last couple of weeks here, it seems likely that they're going to have to do something. So Cashman has played this game a long time, and he always seems to do better than expected at the deadline and really manages to keep a tight lid on what's going to happen until it actually does. I mean, I think that's one of the areas where he's really earned respect all around the industry. So I would expect them to be doing something, but maybe not, I don't see them, say, trading their top prospects, like Clint Frazier or something like that. Obviously, Gleyber Torres is out for the year. They're not going to be doing that just to fortify this because they are building for the long term.
You know, Jay, it is June 28th. You know, what kind of market? You mentioned there might not be a lot of viable options. I know it's early here, but, you know, if you could foresee, what kind of market are you looking at here? How active do you think in the next 4 or 5 weeks are going to be?
Well, I think the problem is that there's so much parity throughout the American League, that a lot of teams can squint and convince themselves that they're in it, or, you know, really aren't going to decide until the last 72 hours whether they are or not. You know, a few weeks ago the Royals looked dead and buried, and now they're back around 500. And I think, you know, there are a lot of teams that you could put in that class where, you know, a good week here or there can really change the narrative about you know, and their perception about where they are. You know, and that has a big effect on the market. I mean, I would say the Royals are a team that definitely, due to their inventory of pending free agents, is going to have a big impact on what happens. The Blue Jays, another one, and, you know, there are teams like that. So it's going to be a long time, I think, before we see moves. And, you know, it's tough to for a team to justify trading somebody on, say, July 1st when they know that teams are going to be more desperate, you know, on July 31st.
You know, Jay, how do you look at Houston? I guess their biggest hiccup is obviously Dallas Keuchel, the pinched nerve, or at least that's the way it was initially described. Now they're saying, I guess, after the All-Star break in terms of his return. But they churn along, and they've got great talent. How do you look at, will Houston kind of go with the guys they got, believing they're good enough?
No, I think that they're a team that's definitely going to be loading up for bigger game. I would expect them to make a run at whoever the best starting pitchers are on the market, the Quintana being, you know, the name that's been tossed around, and particularly in connection with the Astros for, you know, since the winter. Because when you think about what they're doing, they've been to the playoffs before. They want to get further. They know that aside from Keuchel and Lance McCullers, they don't really have that dependable and healthy third starter. They don't even have a dependable and healthy ace right now, and given that Keuchel's still on the DL. So they need to manage their innings. Neither Keuchel nor McCullers made it through last season in one piece. So I would expect they're a team that's probably going to, you know, maybe take that, take a hard look at which of their top prospects they can spare and you know, go for big game.
You add Quintana to that roster, they would be very formidable. I mean, they are going to be anyway, I think, but wow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, his numbers haven't been great, obviously, but he's certainly shut the Yankees down last night, and I'm sure that the Astros were looking at that and thinking, okay, this is definitely a selling point when we, you know, when we see this guy and how he handles this lineup.
Jay, to the Nats, I can't imagine Frankie Rodriguez is going to solve their issues in that bullpen. I mean, what, 12 or 13 losses so far this year? You look at their inability to close out games, hand to that bullpen. What are the Nats going to do here to go out and get themselves a legitimate closer and solidify things for Dusty?
You know, I think the name that I've been seeing in connection with them since last winter, and the one who just seems like it should be an obvious choice, is David Robertson. You know, just there just aren't a lot of top-notch closers out there that are figured to be at the available at the deadline. But you know, they're probably a team that needs to get supporting cast members as well. Robertson not having a fantastic year, just 11 saves here, 3.29 ERA. But this is a team that really, I mean, they've had so many problems that anything looks like an upgrade. So I suspect they'll be very active. I suspect they'll probably, you know, overpay, do something that hurts, just like they did last year in getting Mark Melanson and you know, giving up some quality arms for that. You know, they've put themselves in this position, you know, with ownership kind of justifying the big expenditures to go out and get a Chapman or a Kenley Jansen or a Melanson or re-sign Melanson. I mean, all those were options to them at the beginning of the winter. We heard rumors about them all along. So I think they're going to have to kind of overcompensate to fill that void here, because they need to get out of the first round.
Hey, Jay, a question. It certainly is baseball-related and injury-related, but not necessarily team-specific. We've seen so many injuries. The Mets are the poster children for it, but the Yankees have been hit. Every team at some level has been hit by injuries. And last night, Ron Darling on SNY mentioned that he would like to get baseball trainers in general into a room with former trainers who had a different concept, I guess, about training and whether the weights were that important, and as Ron put it, I believe the six packs
right
being not important, but keeping guys on the field being important. And I guess this is my long-winded and slightly clumsy way of asking you, when you talk to people in baseball, does it sound like injuries are up, and is there concern about that?
Well, you know, I think the new disabled list rules, you know, shortening the mandatory stay from 15 games to 10, has changed things somewhat. So it's difficult to get a year-over-year comparison directly, and teams are kind of gaming the system a little bit, or you know, you've just playing within the rules, managing it differently with the starting pitchers, for example, and just the more minor scrapes. But you know, the Mets, that's an ongoing problem there. I think injury management is an ongoing issue for some teams, and I do, you know, I do think that, yeah, teams would be better off pooling their resources to, especially, you know, when it comes to arm injuries and these the Tommy John problem and things like that. But the problem is that it's very difficult to get teams to cooperate because they see this as a competitive advantage. And some teams, you know, feel that they've got a bit of an inside edge, whether it's the doctors that they use, the techniques that those doctors use, or the injury data that they use to sort of spot, say, when if a pitcher's release point moves by more than, you know, X inches over the course of a month, that could be an early sign that he's got shoulder fatigue or things like that. You know, I know the Rays were breaking some ground in that area, but a lot of that stuff is really confidential. So I think, you know, every team would be best served by calling upon, you know, multiple resources to try to combat this, whether that is calling in, you know, different experts in the field and evaluating top to bottom how they manage this. I mean, the Mets, obviously, they've needed to take a good look in the mirror for a long time. And I know Sandy Alderson puts the blame on his own shoulders for things like the Syndergaard move and a lot of that. But that's an organization-wide problem there.
Jay, you got a new book coming out July 25th, Cooperstown Casebook here. Forward by Peter Gammons. Tell us a little bit about the upcoming book.
Okay, well, I have been evaluating Hall of Fame ballots for the last 15 years or so, started in 2002, and this is a culmination of my work. I used advanced statistics, specifically wins above replacement, in my JAWS, Jaffe Wins Above Replacement score system, to break down those ballots and to show which candidates measure up to the players who are already in the Hall of Fame. So I'm writing about some of the top players on recent and current ballots who've been overlooked or who really have stronger cases than you might think, such as Andrew Jones or Edgar Martinez and Mike Messina, to throw a bone to Yankees fans here. I'm also looking at some of the larger historical trends with longer form essays, going back to things like the battle to get advanced stats into the Hall of Fame conversation, how it played out with regards to the candidacies of Burt Blyleven and Jack Morris, the ways that the Veterans Committee has kind of messed up the Hall of Fame with some inferior selections. And then I'll look at every major league player that's in the Hall of Fame and how they got there and how they measure up with my system and advanced statistics in general and just, you know, some other quirky stuff about them. So
you're going to end all debates, Jay. I pick up this book July 25th.
Right.
You end all debates, right?
You know, there are a lot of places where I concede that the debate is going to be never-ending. I love the passion that people bring to the Hall of Fame argument.
Yep.
That has really spurred me over the years. I've had the chance to go toe-to-toe with some of the biggest name writers in the field in these debates on MLB Network. It's great that my work has been accepted, that actual voters like Peter Gammons and Ken Rosenthal and Jason Stark look at the system and cite it as being helpful in filling out their ballots. So I'm really proud of this book, and I'm really excited for it to get a wide audience.
Jay Jaffe, SI.com, does a great job covering baseball. New book, Cooperstown Casebook, forward by Peter Gammons, out July 25th. We'll take a look for it, Jay. Appreciate the time this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks very much,
appreciate
Jay.
It.
Congrats on the book.
Thanks.
JAWS, the Jaffe
hey,
wins
came up
above
with
replacement.
New. That's innovative. I love it.
Minko.
And this report brought to you by Papa John's. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's, the preferred pizza of New York baseball and sponsored by your Tri-State BMW centers. He won an NBA record 11 championships as a head coach, but as an executive with the Knicks, well, the record of Phil Jackson as club president speaks for itself. Three full seasons, 80-166, including a franchise worth 17-65 back in 2014-15. Jackson and owner James Dolan agree to part ways effective immediately. Clippers agree to deal Chris Paul to the Rockets for Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Sam Decker, and a protected first-round pick next year. Yanks and Red Sox even in the loss column atop the American League East. Boston with two more wins, thus a game lead. Yanks and White Sox tonight in Chicago. Indications are the Yanks plan on promoting third baseman Miguel Andujar from AAA, Matt Holliday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.